Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. It's been said tonight already in song that time is short. And it certainly is short. In our own lives, it's short, but the end is near, I believe. Yes, I believe God's going to come back at any time. Could be tonight. I'd say amen to that. How about you? Be done with this wicked world. But in the meantime, we have a ministry, we have a job to do, and God's called us to be ambassadors, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and try to win people out of the condemnation of hell, winning people to Christ, and that's the only way. That's the only way. Missions Conference really is an exciting time in the church. Depending on the conference, you get to hear different ministries, different missionaries about their call from God to a certain field. It's also an opportunity to be able to support those men and women in the mission support. And it's really an exciting time when you look at it. Missions Conference. I would say that at least in our church, and I'm sure your pastor would agree, it's one of the most important times of the year for our church. I know that God blesses missions, and I think He's blessed our church and blesses churches that are missions focused, because we can't go into all the world. We are to be responsible for those around us and preach the gospel, tell people about Christ, but we can't go into all the world. But God calls missionaries into all the world, and it's a great opportunity to support them. You know, faith promise giving, and I've said this last night, is an opportunity that is unlimited. It's unlimited. But I want to say that it's done little by little. You know, there's a church that I just heard about, that I know about, down in Washington, or the Washington area. It's in Virginia. I know the pastor. He just went there a couple of years ago. It's a big church. And they support, I don't know how many missionaries, but their faith promise budget, are you ready? $690,000. Can you imagine? And I say that because you can be overwhelmed by that. But it didn't start with $698,000. It started one step of faith at a time. One step of faith at a time. So when you hear even our church, it's one step at a time. It's little by little. So don't be overwhelmed with the idea of faith promise giving, thinking you have to do this and you have to do that. No, God will take care of all that. Amen. Our job, our responsibility is just do it God's way and let God provide all the funds. Last night, we looked at the principles of faith promise giving, having a willing attitude. You know, it starts there. That's that little step of faith, getting into faith promise giving. And then the spirit, really, of a sacrificial attitude. The spirit of having a sacrificial attitude. You know, I don't think I mentioned it last night, but we have so much here in the United States. And because of that, we're very used to having things. We're very used to, we almost have it, I deserve type of attitude. Certainly society has that. But it can even creep into the Christian's life. And, you know, the opposite of that is sacrificing for the greater cause, the big picture, winning people to Christ. Sacrificial giving. Liberality, we talked about that principle of liberality. Giving generously, that kind of goes along with the sacrificial giving. And we talked about the principle of partnering or fellowshipping with those we can support. And then the result, what Paul said, boy, it's more than I even hoped for. Giving and having God say, boy, I'm proud of you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That he's pleased with us, giving more than we could even imagine. And really, that does happen. Tonight, I want to look at the church in Philippi. In just 4 or 5 verses there in chapter 4. And look at the testimony of the church that gives by faith promise. Those principles that we looked at last night are really evident in the, you know, we talked about individuals last night. I want to look at the testimony of the church of Philippi in these few verses. Chapter 4 and verse 15, and we'll read there. It says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Aphrodite the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the word of God. Thank you for the privilege of being in church and worshiping you and being able to be involved in the Great Commission, Lord. Never let us take that for granted. Such a privilege to be used by you. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The testimony of a faith promise giving church. We see that here in Philippians chapter 4. This church, I believe, has applied those principles. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 last night. And here are, I don't want to say the results, but their testimony. Number one, they were a giving church. Notice verse 14. "Notwithstanding, we have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Paul writing to the church. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." Paul is really saying, talking to the church of Philippi about their testimony, about what he has seen and what he has received. And they were a giving church. They gave during Paul's affliction, verse number 14. He says, "communicated with my affliction." The word "communicated" means to share or to distribute, to send relief. And I believe he's talking about the financial burden there, affliction, tribulation, distress. It means a financial burden. And they had a testimony of giving. They gave during the need. But during Paul's affliction, they were a giving church. In verse 15, it says, "No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving." I thought this. They gave when nobody else gave. When all the other churches, the Philippian church was giving to Paul in his affliction, and they gave when no one else gave. I thought the application there, even for us as a church or an individual, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Amen? It just doesn't. Individually, somebody doesn't give. Well, I'm not going to give. No. God spoke in your heart. I said last night, you know, we can disobey even not giving our offering if God's laid it on our heart. But it doesn't matter what the other churches are doing. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. They gave when nobody else gave. And they gave during his affliction. Verse 16 says, "Ye sent once again unto my necessity." You know, it wasn't a one-time gift. They systematically continued to give to Paul's affliction or his need. That's what it says there. "You sent once and again unto my necessity." Systematic giving, that's part of faith promise giving. It's a systematic way to support our missionaries, your missionaries. So they were a giving church. We see that in those few verses there, verses 14 through 16. Communicate. They distributed to the need in his affliction. They gave when no one else gave. And they continually gave. They were a giving church. They were a giving church. By the way, it just made me think, you have a very friendly church here. Really, really. We talked about it last night. And we strive to have a friendly church as well. And it's very rare out there, to tell you the truth, when you're around. But I appreciate your friendliness. Thank you. And just send money. No. No. Well, I do appreciate it. That's the way it should be. Amen? I'm off on a tangent, but hey. Anyway. Hey, they had a give. They were a giving church. They were a faithful church, not just a giving church, but a faithful church. Verse 17 says this: not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, certainly there was fruit being produced in the church of Philippi. Just take the example of Paul. He was receiving the relief, the giving, the necessity that he had in his affliction. But you know, Paul was thinking in a bigger way. He wasn't just desiring for his needs. He was really thinking about the church, the individuals. He's saying, you know, I know, paraphrasing the thought here, is that he's saying God knows, or he knew that God would bless the givers. And there, as we produce the fruit would go on to their account. The giving of Paul, to the missionary, was going to be, is fruit in itself, but the fruit, the credit, so to speak, was going to be on their account. Now, certainly, we know it's all of God, and it's all by God's grace. But we are the vessel, and Paul desired fruit to their account. What was the fruit of their labor? Souls. Who said that? Right. I'm glad the pastor knew. Hey, souls. Winning souls. That was the fruit to their account. Amen. Lives. Hey, you know, there's fruit in giving out the word of God and the gospel. Not only does it change lives in eternity, the winning souls, but lives can be changed as well. Anybody know a down and out Christian? You do. Someone suffering. Hey, that's part of the fruit. That's part of the fruit. I mean, the emphasis here is really winning souls. But I thought about, you know, we still have a responsibility to help one another and be sensitive to one another, care about one another. Fruit produced. You know, the fruit here to our account, to your account. And you think about materially or financially or with money in today's economy, you know, if we want to have a savings or a retirement or something like that, you make a deposit. I remember years and years ago somebody told me, as a young man, you know, you just put $5 away. Just put $5 away. I wish I listened, because I'd still have that $5. No, but $5 a week. And you know what it would turn into, and you know, nobody really wants to make those minimal deposits because there's nothing there. Well, that's not what Paul's saying here. There's something major here. Depositing souls for all eternity. That's the fruit he's talking about. Putting on their spiritual account. Faith promise allows more fruit that will be put to my account. They were a fruitful church. They were a giving church. Hey, they were a pleasing church. This is their testimony. I want our church to have this, the same testimony in every area. I want it to be a giving church. I want our church to be a fruitful church. I'm sure you do too. I want our church to be a pleasing church. If you look at verse 18, it says, "But I have," Paul writing, "but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which thou hast sent from you." The gifts, the financial relief that Paul has received. He says, "I'm full. I'm satisfied." Goes on to say there, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. Here it is. Well pleasing to God. Well pleasing to God. They were a pleasing church because they gave beyond their means. They gave liberally. They gave sacrificially. They gave continually. And God was well pleased. What's better than that? What's better than that? Than pleasing God. As a church, God was well pleased. Hey, Paul was pleased. Paul was pleased. And I think that's good. You know, we send support to the missionary, and that helps him go out and preach the gospel and live where God has called him to live. And we help him with that. And they're pleased. Like Paul was pleased. And that's good. But I like that God's pleased. God's pleased with our giving. Well-pleasing church. He says, but I have all abound. Again, Paul's talking about his own self on how he's pleased with the fruit that he sees in the church of Philippi here. The fruit that we can do the same. We were able to do the same thing. Well-pleasing to God. And it gives a little description here, and I probably won't do it justice, but an odor of a sweet smell. And, you know, in God, if I could say it this way, in the nostrils of God, it was sweet. It was like burning incense in the temple. A sweet smell or aroma to God. Because that's describing the pleasure of God through the giving of the church at Philippi. A sweet smell or aroma. You know, one thing I love about Thanksgiving, usually I go out early, I do my studying and things like that, and I come back hours later, and I come back and that turkey is about 3/4 done, but it smells like it's done. Don't you love that? Amen. I love turkey. I love that sweet aroma of the turkey cooking in the oven. And then I'm like, come on, let's go. Let's eat. You know, I hate humanizing God. But just for illustration, God feels much more satisfied or happy with that aroma of a giving church, of a sacrificially giving church, a fruitful church. It was well-pleasing. An acceptable sacrifice. There's that word again. You know, God knows all about us. He knows what is acceptable. He knows when we sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's the big picture. That's the big picture of missions. He says it's an acceptable, a sacrifice acceptable that is well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. They were a giving church. They were a fruitful church. They were a pleasing church. I like this part. They were a blessed church. Verse number 19. They were a blessed church. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, there's a great, that's a promise. That's not, I think it's going to happen. Paul's not writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit with some doubt. He says, he shall. Amen. He shall. See, here's the promise that really motivates faith, promise, giving. See, that's what they were doing here in Philippi. They were giving sacrificially. They were going through all those principles we read about and talked about last night. And then Paul, going over the testimony of the church of Philippi, then says, by the way, that's in the Greek, you don't see it there. No, he says, you know what? You have provided for me, and guess what? God is going to provide for you. That's the promise here. That's the promise. This is the great part, the great truth, the great promise of faith promise giving. But my God shall supply all your need. The word supply, to furnish, to satisfy, to execute, to make full. Supply all your need. Necessity. Whatever you're lacking as far as necessities go. What is needful? And again, what is Paul saying there? He says, you have supplied my needs, and God will supply your needs as well. But it's done by faith. It's done by faith. They gave. This verse is after the giving, after the testimony. And now he's saying, hey, by the way, don't worry. God is going to supply all your needs. He makes a promise there. A promise that he will honor. Is there any promise that God will not keep? Amen? Right? If there is, maybe it's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe that's not going to be true. But it is true because God said it. We can trust all his promises. So when he says, my God shall supply all your need, we can believe that. That's faith. That's trusting God. Completely trustworthy and faithful is our God when he makes a promise in every area of our lives. You know, we do trust him by faith for our eternity, don't we? We do. We believe what God said by faith. Can we not believe, but my God shall supply all your need according to all his riches in Christ Jesus? Can't we just believe that as well? The big faith is putting your faith in Christ and believing him for all eternity, which is absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And so is the idea that he will provide as we give, he will provide all our need. And you know this, it's not all our want. It's not all we desire. It's what we need. And I said before, you know, we're a blessed nation. We're a blessed people. We have so much. The least person, I'm sure, in this auditorium has much more than most people in the world. It's really true. We take that for granted. And we think, I don't know that we think we deserve it, but we're so used to it. We got to get out of that and give the way those principles we talked about, because time is short. People are dying and going to hell. And what we get and hoard or desire in this world is hay, wood, and stubble. It's going to be burned up at the end anyway. Can't take it with you. Can't take it with us. Anyway, blessed with the promise of provision, he says, I'm going to supply all your need. And then I see that we're blessed with knowledge that God has the means and the power to provide. Certainly, he made the promise, I shall provide, I shall fill your need, but he has the power to do so. Does he not? He has the power according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The word riches there has to do with fullness, abundance, and bestowment. He has everything, and again, humanizing it, at his fingertips. He's all powerful. He owns it all, doesn't he? He says it's a blessed church. Hey, they're blessed because the promise to provide, and then they're blessed because they can trust him because he's all powerful. He's the Almighty God. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. He's completely dependable, completely trustworthy. He has every resource that he ever could need. He owns it all. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It's God's power. He can do so much more than we think. We, and I'm including myself, I'm not talking down to anyone, we lack the faith many times. It's not God, it's us. And we limit God in what he truly can do because he blesses faith and faithfulness. We limit, you know, that unexpected, what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 8, that more than we hoped. That's the God that we serve. He can do much more, more abundantly, more than we could ever imagine. Little steps of faith. Little things. Faith promise is a step-by-step steps of faith. Doesn't start with $600,000. It starts with $6. That's it. And you know, somebody's $6 could be worth a lot more than somebody's $600. You know what I'm saying? That's true. That's sacrificial giving. $6 could be sacrificial and $600 could be just, well, I have it, so what? Blessed because of the promise. Blessed church because of the knowledge that he is all powerful and he can do what he says he's going to do. It's a double a blessing to know the promise of God and then know he will do it. And has the power to do it. I thought of this too. You know, it's not in the right here. We talked about it last night in 2 Corinthians 8 about the grace of God. We are blessed with the grace of God. Verse 7 of chapter 8 says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." I mentioned, you know, last night that the grace of God enables us to do what we cannot do on our own. God enables us by his grace to do much more than what we can do on our own. It's God that does it, but it's the grace of God giving us something that we don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven. But we don't even deserve to be used by him. It's by the grace of God. And then he enables us to do, by his grace, whatever he calls us to do. All these missionaries, these flags represent those people that are on the mission field, whether it's here in the United States or overseas, it's all because of the grace of God. Not because those guys are great or not, but they're willing, they're sacrificial. They're willing to do what God says, but it's still by the grace of God. He enables them to do it. Wow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." As we grow in grace, God is glorified. And we are usable more and more and more. Hey, this church had a great testimony. They really did. I want to have that testimony. I would say you want to have that testimony. You may have that testimony already. I don't know. We may have that testimony. They were giving. Fruitful. What a great testimony. Fruitful. Things abounding to their account. Pleasing to God. Blessed by God. That's a testimony. Testimony. Now, I want to get into the application of faith promise giving. We see the testimony of that church. We saw the principles last night in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I want to give just some practical application, and then we'll go back to 2 Corinthians and we'll be in chapter 9 to close out the night. But some practical application or the systematic way of giving through faith promise giving. Your pastor mentioned last night at the end of the service that he wanted you to start praying. Start praying and ask God what he would have you to give to missions through faith promise. I have been, when we have a faith promise month in our church. In March, we have missionaries every Sunday, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday. And some are our own missionaries, and they give an update, and they preach. The new ones that we hope to support, I usually have come on Sunday morning, and they do Sunday school. They present their ministry, and then they preach, because I want to see how they handle the Word of God. They're going out based on the Word of God. They're going to preach the Word of God. They must know the Word of God. But for weeks, if not maybe a couple of months, I say this, and throughout the month of March, be praying, be praying, be praying, and ask God what he would have you to give to missions through faith promise missions. It's you know, when we cry out to God, we're depending on God. That's what prayer is. We're going to God, whether it's a request or a confession, whatever it may be. We're depending on God for an answer. And praying, allowing God to use that little, still, small voice to say, give $1,000 a week. Hey, it may be $1 a week. That's just as good. If that's what God lays on your heart, that's just as good as $1,000 a week. That's on your account. God, you know, he multiplies that. And we're to pray, and we're to pray, and we're to pray, and keep praying until God answers. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God, please tell me what you will provide as I give it. You'll provide it afterwards. Lay it upon my heart. It's not about checking the checkbook. It really isn't. Although, that's what we want to do. I understand that. Especially something new, faith promise. It's like, how can I afford this? It's faith. It's trusting what God tells you. And the peace of God, verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, if God gives you a figure, there's the peace of God. Because you prayed, you asked God, he told you. Not in give the, you know that those days are over. Hey, you know, it could be through reading your script, reading in your devotions that God will speak to your heart about something. But we're to pray. We're to pray and pray and pray and let God speak to our hearts. Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Apply that to faith promise giving. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what God really does. He is a miracle worker. He's a miraculous God. When you get the amount, when God speaks to your heart, what do? Then you get the faith promise card. This is a faith promise card. I left them. They're here. I didn't know if you saw them. But this faith promise card, it comes as one, but there's two parts to it. This one, this big one, says my faith promise offering, a prayer reminder. And you put that somewhere just to remind you, not necessarily of the amount, although you would write probably the amount there, but remind you the process, how God spoke to your heart, how the churches at Corinth or the churches in Philippi and Macedonia, they gave continually, systematically, as a reminder that God's the one that's really going to provide what he has told you to give. So you put that on here. Then the little piece of the card is what you turn in. How you turn it in could be different. We just have them put it in the offering plate. You can hand it to the pastor. But probably the best thing, or my suggestion, and I'll tell you why in a second, is just to put it in the offering plate. And why is that? There's a place for your name on the bottom. I tell our people, don't put your name there. It's not between the treasurer and you. It's not between the pastor and you. It's between you and God. It's not. It's not some. What's the word? The word I want to use escapes me. But this is a promise between God and you. You promise to give, and God promises to replace. That's faith promise giving. And so there's a little spot here to put the amount. And it says weekly for a year. So if God spoke to your heart and said, I want you to give $5 a week, you'd write $5 in there and you circle weekly for a year. Maybe God's laid on your heart, and some people do this in our church. And I don't know who they are, by the way, but I add these up so we can do our faith promise budget at the end of the month. It could be bi-weekly. You're going to give bi-weekly. So if God laid on your heart for $5 a week and you're going to give bi-weekly, you put $10 bi-weekly, circle that. Or maybe it's monthly and so on and so forth, or maybe it's yearly, and then you have to write that. Because if God laid on your heart to give you give $1,000 and you don't write yearly, the budget will not come out right at the end. You have to be specific. But this is so whoever makes the decisions between the pastor and the deacons and the church, which is everybody, how you're going to decide who and how many missionaries you're going to be able to support. And you support, the church supports the same way you give to Faith Promise. By faith, let's just say $10,000 comes in, or $10,000 is promised by the congregation. $10,000, $5,000, $20,000, whatever it is. By faith, the church takes on the missionaries. They don't have the money yet. You see where the faith promise comes in? It's individual, but it's also for the church. So then you come up with a budget. Okay, we can support 10 missionaries for $10 or 10 missionaries. No. Well, if it was $10,000 a month, I'm saying $10,000 a year, you would develop a budget for the missions based on that, whether you take on a few missionaries at $50 or $100, whatever you decide, that's where it comes from. And the church gives it by faith. Because every week or every 2 weeks, that faith promise giving is going to come in continually, like it did in Philippi. Now, so faith promise, you know, there's been one or two people that have put their name on here by mistake. I think it's by mistake. But regardless of that, it's really a promise between you and God, and God and you in that. We understand. Anybody have? I don't want to have questions necessarily, but I think it's fairly clear. These faith promise cards, and they're so anything that comes in goes to Bible Baptist Church in Cramer, because that's what it says on here. No, until you get your own this year, you'll have these, and you don't have to worry about that. You know, it's for Victory Baptist Church. All right, so pray. How do we apply this faith promise giving? You need to pray. You need to pray and pray and pray. And when God's given you the amount, you put it on the card by faith. You keep this for yourself and you turn this in however you would have them turn it in. My suggestion would be in the offering plate, because then it's anonymous. You know, nobody knows who's giving what. Then put faith and promise into practice. Start to give right away. You put it off, it doesn't happen. That's what happened in the church at Corinth, by the way. They started, and then it kind of fell by the wayside. That's what Paul was trying to get them to get going. We're going to look at that in 2 Corinthians 9 in a moment. But put it into practice, and give it by faith, not by sight. It's not a matter of saying, I want God to provide first, and then I'll give it. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Remember? But my God shall supply. After it's given, after you give by faith, God will supply. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. You don't know where it's going to come. You have what you have, but the replacement, you don't know where it's going to come from. 2 Corinthians 8:11, now therefore perform the doing of it. This is what I was telling you, that Paul was kind of on the church at Corinth, because they started, but they kind of fell by the wayside. It says, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance, an action, also out of that which ye have. I mentioned last night, faith without works is dead. Real faith brings about actions, brings about works. We're not saved by works, but the evidence of our faith is works. And here we're talking about faith, promise, giving. So put it into practice. First pray, put it into practice right away. Here's something that's really important. Be sensitive to God's provision after you give. You're not going to receive, let's just say God's laid on your heart to give $25 a week to missions, $100 a week, $1, whatever it is. Don't expect a check in the mail, although God could send a check in the mail. We have to be very sensitive to God's provision. What do you mean? He provides in different ways. It could be providing financially with money, a gift from someone, an unexpected, it could be in the job, and I'm not saying you go out and you work overtime and don't come to church and leave your family behind. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying something that you didn't control that God provided miraculously could be financially with real money. It could be some type of gift that you receive. You know, God uses people. A gift that saves you money somewhere down. What if somebody provided you a $25 Wise card for gas? Something like that? That is how God provides. Sensitivity to what God will provide. It doesn't have to be in cash. It is giving you, through other means, the ability to give sacrificially, gifts, food. I think of the nation of Israel in the wilderness. What happened to their clothes and their shoes? They wore right out, right? No. That's the kind of thing. You know that 20-year-old washing machine that you have? And it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, like a Timex watch. It keeps on clicking. You think God isn't in control of those kind of things? He is in control of the minute details of our life, and he cares about them. We have to be very sensitive. Things not wearing out, free meals, gifts. You know, I said last night, my wife and I should have written a book on this. And I was trying to think of more things. My mind's a little cloudy with that. But so many things that God can provide that we don't realize. Hey, God has made a provision for us to give to missions because he saved us over here so we can give over here. Amen. Have to be really sensitive to that. You know, even something like going to community aid. Who goes to community aid? Anybody? Everybody. I don't. I've never been in there, but my wife goes there. Isn't that part of it? You get a kid's outfit that's brand new or wore once, and it's worth, you know, I guess, I don't, I could be way off, could be worth $12. You get it for a dollar and a half. Is that something? That's something. See, this is missions-minded. This is thinking about how God's going to provide so that I can be a part of missions giving. And our church can have the testimony that the Church of Philippi has. Many things. So pray, get it into practice, be sensitive, and then remember some facts about faith promise giving. Now I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Facts, principles. We've looked at the principles of faith promise giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I guess these are facts of results in a sense. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in the first verse there. It says, "For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous. That's my helper there. Yeah, whatever that is. In other words, I don't have to do it. For me to write to you, for I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia." So he's saying to this church in Corinth, I don't want to have to, I know I don't need to tell you this again. And I have bragged about your giving in the churches of Macedonia, or at least your intent, because that's what he says here, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Now, he's ready to get the collection. He may be bringing some representatives from the other church, and he wants them to be ready. He wants them to be ready with the gift that they evidently have worked on or promised. Verse 4 says, "Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me, and you find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting." So he's warning. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. He doesn't want the boasting to be in vain. And it all goes back to glorifying God and all of that. God is the focus. He says, "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that ye would go before, that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness." In other words, just imagine the group showing up, the bounty or the offering is not ready, and then he goes out, and then they're going to scuffle and try to get it together. It would be like, instead of doing it out of a willing, sacrificial heart, it would be out of a covetous type of understanding, like, okay, we got to do this type of thing. Then he gives us some things that we should remember here. I'm just kind of setting up the next couple of verses. Some things that we are to remember concerning giving and faith promise giving. Notice here in verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He says, you will reap what you sow. This is after saying, get the bounty ready. Get ready to give. Get it all together. And by the way, you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a principle throughout the whole Bible. We will reap what we sow. Hey, if we reap, if we sow sin, we're going to reap sin. We're going to reap the consequences. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about financially. But if we sow a lot, talking about financial giving to missions, we're going to reap a lot. Amen. You believe that? Amen. Hey, it's the Bible. It's a principle of the Bible. Hey, not only financially, I believe spiritually as well. That's the need of the Christian, to sow spiritually and reap spiritually. Those other material things come naturally. When we sow spiritually, we'll reap spiritually, and then we'll sow physically or materially and reap materially as the need is provided by God. Luke 6:28 says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You believe that? That's the Bible. It's the principle of the Bible. You will reap what you sow. You sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. You plant a lot of corn, you're going to get a lot of corn. That's the idea. We give a lot, we're going to reap a lot. So, remember, as you're giving, we're going to reap what we sow. You know, sometimes that's a negative, but that's a positive here. We're going to reap what we sow. Sow a lot, you're going to get a lot. Then, verse number 7 says this. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Faith promise has the principle or truth that you will reap what you sow, but it also, faith promise is a matter of the heart. It really is. It really is. It says, as you've purposed in your heart, the inner man, the inner man. You know, I think we could tell in the verse if we're giving with the right type of heart, with a heart for souls, with a heart to please God, with a heart to be a part of winning people to Christ. It says there in verse 7, let him give not grudgingly. You know, if you get the checkbook out for faith promise giving and you have some kind of grudge or despair in giving, that's not the right heart. That will be an evidence, hey, I'm giving under duress. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want us to give under duress. He wants us to give with a cheerful heart, to be excited. I said last night, I was not lying when I say I look forward to writing those checks out every 2 weeks. We get paid every 2 weeks. I really do. It's the first thing I do. I actually do it the day before. Get it in my envelope and fill it all out. Maybe I feel childlike when I do that, but I'm happy to do it. Amen. I know God's done that for me. God's done that for me. That I'm happy. We should be, I don't want to use myself as an example, we should be a cheerful giver. God's provided it, and we're to cheerfully give it back. Amen. Whether it's the tithe or the offering. We should be happy and privileged. Cheerful means joyfully, glad, happy to give, excited about it. Yes, here's my check. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Pastor? Congregation? You would like it. If you get involved in it, you're happy to give because of the results, the big picture. People getting saved. Fruit to your account. Man, it's exciting. Give. Because you're going to, you know, giving, faith promise, you reap what you sow. Hey, it's a matter of the heart. It's not out of duty or necessity. It's not grudgingly, unwillingly. God will not bless that. It's the cheerful heart that God will bless. Another thing I see here. Now, faith promise giving is not only a matter of the heart. It's not only a matter of we will reap what we sow, but it is a matter of trusting God's promises. Look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's similar to Philippians, my God shall supply all your needs. Very similar. We can trust God's promises. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trusting God. By the way, I just felt like the preacher is actually sounding like he's begging for money. That's not the case. I'm passionate about this, just like Paul was passionate about, because I know how God blesses. And I know God keeps his promises. And I know we will reap what we sow. And I know if we give with a cheerful heart, God will bless that. And use us more abundantly than we could even imagine. That it may abound in every good work. Wow. There's a lot there. We could say many, many things about the grace of God and how he enables us and the right way to do things and all those principles. We've been given the Great Commission. Part of the Great Commission is supporting missionaries because we can't go into all the world, all of us. We can't be in the same place at the same time. We can go somewhere, but that still involves any other missionaries. We can be at home and witness to those people around us, but we can't be in every place. God does that. He calls missionaries. But we can be a part of their ministry by faith promise giving. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I guess I'm going to close with this. I think somebody, a pastor may have mentioned this last night, Matthew 6, 20 and 21. Here's the philosophy. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's the fruit put to our account, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Think about it. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Faith promise giving, one of those things, is a matter of the heart. Let's bow for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, without you we can do nothing. Without your power, without your promises, we truly cannot do anything. Lord, I pray for Victory Baptist Church, that you'd be glorified in the church in the manner of giving to missions. I pray, God, you would just manifest yourself through the rest of the week and the rest of the year, through your people, catching the truths of faith promise giving. Lord, I know you will keep your promise. Help us increase our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.